Now, this today I want to speak about is still a continuation, right, in what we've been saying. But what I want to focus on is the role of our minds, right, in the place of answered prayer, or what we'll call receiving answers to prayers. But this also even goes further, all right, into the use, the role and the use of the mind, right, in our Christian work every single day. Mind is very important. Organ of transformation of the entire life. The Bible says that we shall present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We shall not be conformed to this world. That what means we shall not allow this world to squeeze us, that is the pressure, to squeeze or confine us into its own mold. But in order to break free from the limitations and the confinements and the pressure and the squeeze of this world, we can be transformed. And that word, all right, means, all right, go through a process, transformed, that is, from the inside, all that we have on the inside begins to show on the outside. And it says that occurs by what is called the renewal of the mind. So as the mind is being renewed, all right, which means that you are replacing old thoughts with new thoughts. You are removing old and worn out negative thoughts, and you are replacing them with new thoughts there. So the mind is being renewed. The spirit was created anew, which means that the spirit now is a completely different person that was there before you got born again. But the mind is the same mind. So what is happening is that the mind is being renewed. So let's say that the engine of the car was changed, but now we are renewing the body, all right, of that car. So we are replacing, all right, everything that is bad with the new one that God is bringing. And it says when that happens, your life becomes transformed. As those thoughts are replaced inside, it becomes visible on the outside. There's what is called a transformation. In other words, what you seemed like you couldn't do as the caterpillar, you are now doing as a butterfly, for the transformation is metamorphosis there. So it means that the person visibly is moving from a low level, all right, into a much bigger level. This comes by replacements of thought. In other words, if we said this, if the caterpillar, all right, is right there and it says, I'm going to come and I'm going to be hanging in the air here and I'll do it in the next, all right, 15 seconds, you will declare to the caterpillar, it's impossible. But that caterpillar has the life and capacity inherently to do that if it goes through metamorphosis and becomes a butterfly. And the butterfly can do it in 10 seconds, and it will be hanging right here on the air. And it's the same life, all right, that is in the butterfly, that is in the caterpillar. It's just that the life has a different form. And so, all right, the renewal of your mind, replacement of thoughts, all right, in your mind there, will drastically change the outward form of that person's life. The person's, all right, ability to get things done. Others, we look at the person and say, it's possible now. Somebody they looked at and said, impossible, you can never do it. Now when they hear your name, they say, he's capable of doing it. And it's the same, all right, you, but it's the mind that has now been renewed. You understand what I'm saying? How powerful it is. Okay? And then Paul went on and said, put off the old man who is corrupt according to deceitful lust. So that's the outward form now, the old man. And it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man. So on the outside, A man person moves from the old man in his behavior and conduct, who has been corrupted and is deceitful and lustful, and now he is wearing as somebody else who is created in the image of God in righteousness and true holiness. And that has come as a result of renewing the mind, the spirit of the mind, or what that means is the mind at what we call subconscious levels. In other words, from the depth where the memory, where past events are stored, where things that they might not even be conscious of today are trapped in those places, and they have formed and manifested themselves in flesh, all right, which means regulating the behavior, all right, is showing forth in various things on the outside, mannerism, behavioral pattern, all right, intelligence and all of that, but it's now being replaced at that level. And that's what I want to talk about. And the life is totally changed. And this is the business of the church, which means that you come in and people understand, right, how to renew their minds with the word of God. I mean, I was in Bishop Keith Butler's convention, and Dr. Caroline Leaf, all right, you may have heard of her, who talks about, you know, don't let your brain go to waste. Right, I was speaking there, and she was saying something really powerful, all right? But she speaks, all right, for 2 hours. If I have 2 hours, she said, can I have 15 more minutes? So, I mean. But she speaks on different levels. She moves from quantum physics to scripture, from scripture to being filled with the Holy Ghost, from there to psychiatry, from there to the brain, from there to the image of a tree on the stage, from there, you know, to something. And let me just share this joke with you, whether you can get it, okay? Whether I can get it. Now, a pastor man down the road, she told this, think well, put 3 bottles, I'll still come back to what I'm saying. One had alcohol, another had smoke from the cigarette, another had chocolate in, how do you call it, as a sauce, liquid form. And the other had just earth, soil. And they put 4 worms, one into the alcohol, one into this, and one into that. And the 3, and the one in the alcohol died, the one in the smoke there from cigarettes died, the one in the chocolate sauce died, but the one in the earth was moving around. So what's the lesson you can learn from that? What's the lesson? What's the lesson you can learn from that? So one elderly woman put up her hand, I know the lesson. Say what? She said, if you drink alcohol, smoke, and eat chocolate, all the worms in you will die. Can you imagine that? All right, so. All right, I'll tie that up to my message. I have to, but. All right, I said, oh, that's the warming process. But what they were trying to say was that these 3 things will kill you, and that if you eat properly, you will. But somebody who saw it from a different light. It depends on your mind. Are you following what I'm saying here? Yeah. It depends on the neural pathways, the network that has been formed. All right, we'll get into it. Okay? But what she was saying here was that she was telling us that speaking, but she said something, and I missed that session, so I was watching it in the early hours of this morning. All right, for about 20 minutes, and she said something very powerful, and it was concerned what I wanted to teach. All right, and she said that, you know, you're a powerful conference, very powerful speakers. And, you know, she's close to Kenneth Copeland and all of that. Said, and this generation has had, you know, real strong teaching that has gone forth. But she said something, if you do not practice this for a minimum of 7 minutes to 16 minutes every day, and she told us, and we're going to look at it about meditate. Said, when you come out of this conference, take just one concept. And she said, you can only do it one after another. And this is why I say focus on one thing. In fact, someone just sent me a message, and I'll talk about it. And she was telling her testimony, and said, that thing is powerful. She said, I focused on just one thing that was pressing in my life. She cracked it in 2 weeks. She said, 30 minutes will not go without her, all right, declaring those things. In fact, Caroline Leaf said, every day, if you take that one concept and you, and we'll talk about this, meditate, that's what she said. She said, if you do it, minimum of 7 to 16 minutes every day. She said, after 21 days, they found out, you will have what is called a long memory, which means concerning that particular thing, which means you will not be a forgetful hearer. Now, I heard somebody say something, and I kind of agree with him, and was talking about Pentecostals, that sometimes they can be shallow, and was comparing that what they have is momentary enthusiasm about things, right? But there's no depth of thought when it comes to things. So, you know, we are feeling, yay, it was powerful, and all of that. She said, 21 days, you have what is called a long memory. She now goes on, and what do we mean by that? All right, let us take an example there. When the Bible says you are not a forgetful hearer. In other words, some of you that were at Wavbeck, who went through some sessions where you said, powerful. If I ask you now what was said, you can't remember anything. Which means it has disappeared from your memory. All right? So she said you will retain that. The concept you got. So I do it one after the other. After 43 days of doing it, it will start affecting you on the inside. And then after 63 days, it becomes visible to people on the outside. And the Bible says, Paul told Timothy, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them that thy profiting, all right, might appear unto all. Right? So Paul, all right, spoke about in his own case there in Romans chapter 7. He spoke about the fact that, talking about the mind, all right, he said this in Romans chapter 7. He said that, I delight in the law of the Lord after my inward man, that's his spirit. And then, but I see another law at work in my, another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. So he now spoke about his inward man, then his mind, and then bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. The members, they are boys, the body. So he spoke about the real man, his mind, and the body. And he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? So he was trying to get the body to do some things from his spirit. But then he realized something. He said, I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So then with the mind, I myself, in other words, my spirit, who I am, really will serve the law of God using the mind there, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And that's why Jesus made it clear that this thing, obedience, is not even a function first of the body, but it's a function of the mind. If it's fulfilled in the mind already, it is considered as having manifested in the body. For if it gets into one part of your mind, you cannot stop your body from responding that way and your circumstances from taking that particular shape. Because it says, as a man thinketh, so he is. So it tells us that if a man lusts after a woman, which means it gets to a part where he no longer has control over the thought. He said, look, he has already committed, which means once the opportunity comes, he is going to do it. Right? He said, look, if a person is angry and the emotion is there, and there's rage inside him and he can't control that. He said, look, he has already committed murder, because if the opportunity comes, it then will manifest itself because he has lost control, all right, over his emotions there. And so Jesus was talking about obedience as a function, first and foremost, of something that occurs in the mind. Now, five years ago, I was in America, and I was watching something on television. Some of you heard about it. And this was I think it was on CNN, right? And this was in, you know, a cult. There was this religious leader who, you think, deteriorated and became a serious cult somewhere in Texas. And they were on a ranch. And what happened, and when I watched it, something struck me deeply. And what happened was that, you know, it got so bad that this man was exercising complete mind control. And once things start like that, it gets to control. Bad doctrine always leads to control, which eventually evolves into a cult-like thing and all of that. It was so bad that the men came in and joined this cult with their wives, all right, this religious organization. But it so happened that the man in charge, now every woman in that place had a child for him. Then some of the children who were old enough had children for him. So it was messed up. Now, when one of them broke free and she managed to report what was going on, The FBI went in, and there was a shootout to the extent that they had to negotiate, all right, for the women and children to come out. These men were fighting to keep a man who was doing all of that with their children, right, to show how much the mind, all right, had been warped and was doing that. And finally, they negotiated for the women and the children to come out. And as these women and children were coming out, you know, they all said, you know, and it looked like people were happy. The women came out, they all dressed the same. You can't wear anything different. You're all dressed, you know. And I said, oh, they're free. And in my heart, I knew these people would go back. These people, they would go back. All right? So when they finally asked them that, listen, you are free, they said, free from what? That, listen to me, isn't this a free society? That we are excited of free will. He didn't harm us. He didn't do anything. We enjoy being like this. We all have children. He's our father. He's our husband. He's our, that's everything together. And these people returned back to the place and continued living until they had to find some hidden laws to go and arrest the man, all right, based on some hidden laws and put him, all right, in prison. But as far as I know, those people are still there. However, this is what struck me. When they asked an expert about how those people could get help, she said that, look, it's going to be very difficult. That the only set of people that have the mechanism to break down all that has been built into these people and to reverse the effect of it can only be found in a particular corps there in the U.S. military. That they are the only ones that know how to do it. I said, yeah, this is the work of the church. This is what our assignment, but we haven't shown we're able to do it. In other words, there's none. I mean, Dr. Caroline Leaf was saying, she said, some of you said only a minority are going to advance based on this conference. And she's right. She said, most people are where they were 5 years ago and will be where they are in the next 5 years. And that's just the truth. Except you go through this process of at least for 15 minutes every day, you engage in the exchange of thoughts, removing the old and replacing it with the new, which means the new information you have received and the new thoughts you have received, that exchange is actually going on. I remember that the nation of Israel, this is what happened to them. What happened to those women, their children? They came out of Egypt, bondage and slavery, and God brought them out, took them through signs, wonders, took them to the verge of the promised land, freedom. They tasted the grapes. They ate of it. They said, this is a land that flows with milk and honey. But they preferred to go back to Egypt, all right, and to live in bondage. In fact, they didn't think they were in bondage. They said, why did you bring us out here to kill us? We were better off. They were now talking about how good they were when they were in Egypt. And God said, look, this is the problem. He said, the problem is with the mind. He said, he found fault with them. He said, the fault is with this covenant. I'm going to establish a new covenant. I will be merciful unto their sins. But the important thing, the first thing he said, was that I will put my laws into their minds and I will write it inside their hearts. In other words, I will change what is written inside their hearts. So I want to start looking at this. And in Philippians 4:6, it tells us here, in verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing. Paul said this, which means that do not entertain thoughts of anxiety, all right, be fearful about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep or protect and guard your hearts and minds. Because Paul understood that it's from the heart comes the issues of life. One definition says it's the source of your physical existence. Everything you see in your physical life is coming out of your heart. Another says the boundaries you experience on the outside are boundaries that exist inside your heart. So he said God will place peace in your heart, and he will guard and protect it. Now, and what should be going on inside the heart is that finally, whatsoever things are true, all right, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think upon these things. So Paul said, begin to think upon these things. Now you've prayed, but think upon these things. Because what, you know, occupies your mind, the thoughts that are predominant in your mind, determines. That's why when James talked about prayer, he said, you have no problem on God's side. You ask for wisdom, ask in faith. God gives it, he says, freely, without fault finding or any inhibition in him. Even if there are errors in your life, he knows you need his wisdom to correct those errors. So he's not finding fault with you in doing this. But there is one thing. When you are praying, ask in faith, in nothing wavering. He says, he that wavers is like this. And then it goes on. He says, listen, it goes on and says that a double-minded man, a person whose mind is accommodating good thoughts and contrary thoughts. Two conversations are going on in the mind. Good reports sometimes, evil reports sometimes. Things that are honest, things that are dishonest. He is double-minded. That man is unstable in all his ways. And let him not think that he will be able to receive what God has given. And he says it's because of what is going on in the mind of that person. He has been double-minded.
Thank you for listening.